Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
If you have your Bibles with you, go to Acts chapter 19, and we'll look about miracles. I believe miracles are on the way. I believe miracles are here happening, but a lot of them we're just not aware of. And a lot of times healings and stuff we don't hear of right necessarily in the church that day or that moment, but then we hear about it later on. And I wrote down, get ready for miracles. Acts 19, Paul, telling about Paul, Acts 19, verse 11 and 12, if you can, on the screen. And God was performing, who was? God. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Stop right there for a moment. God was performing the miracles. He was using the hands of Paul. We have to be very careful when we see miracles, signs, and wonders happening that we gravitate toward the person and we begin to put too much stock in the person. God can do miracles, healings through anybody, anywhere, anytime He wants to. And it's God who does the miracles. And the word miracles here means workings of power. God demonstrated His power. He can do anything. And a miracle is a thing that takes place in an instant most of the time. A healing can take place in an instant, but really that's a miracle. Healings are usually progressive. They shall lay hands on the sick, Mark 16 says, and they shall recover. So many times healing is a process. It's given in an instant. Jesus has already healed us. I mean, by His stripes we were healed. But the manifestation of it many times is a process. And when it's an instantaneous thing, the blind see, the lame walk, when it's an instant thing, that's really technically we could say a miracle. But that's not what I want to point out to you here. The extraordinary miracles were happening. Well, what are ordinary miracles? Well, if you look back in chapter 19, verse 6, and you look in your Bible there, it says, when Paul laid his hands upon the people of Ephesus, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And so this was kind of like an ordinary miracle that was kind of common to happen in Paul's ministry. He'd lay hands on people. They would receive and begin speaking in tongues or begin to prophesy and things like that and so forth. But then it goes on to describe back in Acts 19, verse 12, what these extraordinary miracles were, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. Now, my wife corrected me Sunday morning with she said, you need to clarify, because it made it sound like you don't believe that, you know, that God can heal through a cloth and so forth, because of a comment I made, and I certainly didn't mean to imply that, because I do believe that God can heal through anything and anyone. And here is the biblical account where aprons and napkins or handkerchiefs came off the body of Paul, the anointing that was upon him, that God placed upon him for extraordinary healings and miracles, was imparted in some way in these cloths, and these cloths were taken to people who couldn't hear Paul or who weren't living nearby or whatever the reason, and people were healed as a result of that. I've had people come to me and say, you know, I'm going to see a relative and they live far away. Would you pray over this object, like a handkerchief or whatever, anoint it with oil? And I have done that, and believing in faith that God would just honor that as well as if we were somewhere present. I've even heard of people taking a handkerchief or cloth and anointing it with oil and praying over it. And slipping it under the pillow of a rebellious teenager and believing that God was dealing with whatever was the source of the rebellion, the root cause and so forth like that. And the parents reported a significant change in the child or the teenager, and without them even being aware of that. So there's no question that God does mysterious things to us that we and with us that we don't necessarily understand. These were extraordinary miracles. Think about Jesus, the woman who reached through and just believed because of her faith, be it unto you according to your faith. And she reached through and just said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she was healed. Those are mysterious things. God is not limited in anything that he does about bringing healing and miracles and imparting those things into our lives. And if we're not careful, though, man has a tendency to look for what's the secret, what's hidden, how did they do that, why is God anointing a certain evangelist, and what, is there something special about their lives? Is it have they found a secret formula? What is it that they do? And we look for that because of our works mentality. We think that we can somehow earn something or discover something, and there's some sort of secret reason. Maybe this person's more holy than anyone else, and we have to say, no! Everything God does is by grace. He saves by grace. He heals by grace. The gifts and miracles and signs and wonders are by his grace. There's nothing we can do to earn any of that. And that should put us all at ease, knowing that there's not some people that are more holy than others. That's not true. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 12, there are listing of spiritual gifts, charismas, or it doesn't even really say the word gifts is not really accurate. It's really spirituals. God gives us spirituals for spiritual people, spiritual ability. And three of the power gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 are faith. And we all have faith, but there is a power gift of faith that can be given to people. To have the confidence in God to do extraordinary things. There's a gift of faith besides the measure of faith that all believers are given by God. And then there are also gifts of healing, plural, gifts of healing given to people. And if you've ever been healed in your body, that's a gift of healing. But there are people that God uses. He chooses however he wants to do that, and they have some supernatural ability from God to impart this gift of healing, as do all believers, if we believe. Mark 16. And then there's the gift or the effecting of miracles. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, and that's what I want to talk to you about. There's a power that does come to our life when we live a more separated life than the world. But please understand, it's not because you are being more holy. It's because you're being more focused. You're being more intentional. Like fasting, for example. I hope that during this month that you'll spend some time fasting. And fasting doesn't earn any points with God. He didn't say, well, okay, I see you're fasting, so I'll just give you a special gift. Now you've earned it. No, that's not how it works. Fasting helps you cut out the static of the world. It helps you focus more on prayer and your intimacy and your relationship with God. And it helps you shut down the flesh that dominates our lives so much. The flesh, meaning our unyielded body, that's desires, and the unyielded mind. And so these are, fasting is for that purpose, and we should fast as led by the Lord, as directed by the Lord. And you decide, you get to decide that. When you fast, Jesus said, do it this way. Don't do it to draw attention to yourself, but fast to your Father in secret, and your Father who's in secret will see, and he will reward you openly. So when you live a separated life, meaning you decide, I'm not going to do certain things that the world does, and I'm going to focus on becoming more spiritual. It's God does things in your life, not because you're more holy. but because you're more focused, you're more intentional, and you're cutting out the static of the world. So you have to understand that it's about being intentional. And so God decides who, when, where he does miracles and when he manifests things in our life that we long to see. But also keep in mind, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, the scripture says, Paul left a man by the name of Trophimus, left him sick in a city called Miletus. Paul left him there. He was one of the companions of Paul. Trophimus got sick. Certainly Paul prayed for him. Certainly Paul prayed for this man, but this man was still left sick in Miletus, and he was not well enough or strong enough at that moment to be able to travel with Paul. Now that's interesting. So when Paul prayed for him, would the man claim healing as we do today? Yeah, I claim healing by all means. But healing is a process, you got to realize. And so this man was in the process of manifesting that healing in his body. He was getting stronger. And sometimes it's a process. And sometimes, and I just wanted to point that out to you, that that's in your Bible. And but now I want you to notice something in verse 12, very important. Here's where you really need to tune in. Notice in the scripture it says, so that these handkerchiefs and these aprons were carried from his body to the sick. And what happened? And the diseases left. Diseases left. And the evil spirits went out. It's a very interesting word here. I looked up today. The word left, when the diseases left them, it's a word that means to break up an existing connection. Listen closely. These diseases, these sicknesses that were in these people had a cause. There was an existing connection. And it's very apparent to me that when this anointing that Paul had in these cloths, the Holy Spirit, the faith, imparted or touched these diseases, the power of God was powerful, and it broke the connection that these diseases had to be able to be there in somebody. It broke the connection. So they had a connection or cause or reason or a purpose to be able to be there, to exist in a body. And when that cause was touched with that anointing of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, it broke the connection. It set the captives free. And demons left who were behind the sickness. Now that's very revealing, very interesting. So there's a connection with sickness. There is a connection with something that's evil. Where did sickness and disease come from? Can anybody tell me? Where? Yeah, but go farther than that. Sin. It came, there was no sickness in the universe prior to sin. None. When sin came, it brought the curse. Sickness is a curse. Jesus bore the curse for us. Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne all our griefs and our sorrows, properly translated, our sicknesses and our diseases. So sin is the cause. Now, it's not to say that we're to go around, if someone's sick, we say, well, what have you done? No. That's not our business. Okay. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay. Now, we don't go around judging people. We're not capable of doing that. We're commanded not to do that. But we know and discern by the Holy Spirit that that sickness has a root. And if we can discover by the Holy Spirit showing us what the root cause is, then we can break up that connection. The person will be easily healed. The healing just flows and the demons flee. And that's what was happening with these cloths and aprons taken from the body of Paul. Now, Paul, I don't think Paul asked for this. I think it's just something that happened primarily because of where he was. He was in a town called Ephesus. And in Ephesus, it was a very occultic city. You know what I mean by occultic? Cultic is different. Occultic is hid, means hidden. It's satanic. Cults and occult are two different things. Cults are like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons because they don't believe that Jesus is God. They deviated from the truth. But occult is the hidden dark things of Satan, witchcraft, and things like that. Now, Ephesus was like a headquarters for all kinds of occult activity. Anything you wanted to find in the occult was there. I mean, anything was there. Idolatry, any type of thing that you, witchcraft and all these kind of things were in this place. And so these people were used to seeing dark power being manifested. They were used to people being able to read your mind or do, you know, things that like go fortune tellers and tell you. They were used to seeing real power. And Satan does have real power. They were used to seeing darkness. So they were fascinated by all this stuff. And so God purposely showed up in Ephesus through Paul, and he manifested what the real power is really all about. And he was breaking up and busting up these demonic strongholds by this extraordinary display of miracles and signs and wonders that was going on. So these diseases left when the connection was broken. The connection can be something as simple many times as a thought, a wrong thought, a fear of death, a fear of that, a worry, a care, a concern. When you believe a lie of the enemy, this allows him a place to build a stronghold in your mind. And what you believe affects you and affects others and affects your body. You can make yourself sick. Even science knows psychosomatic illnesses. You can make yourself sick by believing yourself sick. But it's also true in the spirit where you can open yourself up to the lies of the enemy and believe things that are not true. And as a result of that, sickness and disease is able to attack you, Satan, because he's getting you to miss the mark, which is called sin. So these evil spirits went out after the root causes were touched with the anointing of God. Now, if what had opened this city up to all this evil and all this occult stuff? People were hungry for power, just like they are today. People want to know power. They want to know the real thing. And today, the atmosphere is no more different. You don't have to go very far to find all kinds of occult things. You can go into Target and buy tarot cards, which are witchcraft, okay? Many of you grew up with Ouija boards, okay, and all that is witchcraft. I don't know if you know that. That's not just a toy. That's an entranceway, a gateway into the occult world to get you interested in things. And New Age crystals now, stores, objects used in witchcraft, horoscopes. It's in the newspaper. It's all over. You say, oh, come on, do you believe that's really occult? Yeah, I do, because I believe the Bible. And the Bible makes that very clear in Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you need a source. Deuteronomy 18, back in the old covenant days, God warned Israel, you're different, you're peculiar people, stay away from the stuff of the world. And he warned them specifically a whole list of things. Don't try to contact the dead, you know, like they do over in Casadega. Not too far from here, the whole little city there is all bound up with spiritualists who say, you know, come in and we'll contact a dead relative for you just so that you can be comforted. And people pay money for this stuff. And you say, oh, is that stuff real? Some of it is and some of it isn't. Some of it's fake and some of it's phony, but some of it, they really are not contacting the dead. They're contacting a familiar spirit. And it's evil, and it's to put a hook in you. It's very real, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, years ago, Dungeons and Dragons and all this stuff. Video games today, young people, college age people, teenagers are captivated with video games. They're called gamers. They're into video games. And many of these video games are nothing more than a demonic hook to get into them at an early age. Now, we have mostly an older crowd here tonight, but and you know probably that stuff or are aware of that. But young people aren't. They just grew up with it. It's always been around. It just kind of comes natural. And somebody has to step in and so what I think Satan is doing is I think he's going after this younger generation because I believe he knows this is the last generation. And he's going after them with everything he possibly can. And the younger you get them, the faster you keep them, the better you keep them. And he knows that. Now, I believe that this is critical, and I think it's very important. I think the Lord just showed me just a few days ago, because I didn't have this planned, that we need to do something in our church about this. Because now, the things that were happening in Ephesus, let me just jump ahead real quick on the screen. If you would, go to Acts 19, verse 17. So Paul had these miracles going on, and it sparked a revival. No question. When you start seeing people healed and demons leaving, revival happens in the church. Church comes alive. Nobody falls asleep in a church where that's going on. Amen? And this became known to all, both the Jews and the Greeks who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Hallelujah. And many also of those who believed... Who? The believers. That's what I want to point out to you. It was the believers. Whoa, let's go back to church. Okay? And they believed. They kept coming and confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those, these are believers now, who practiced magic, because they're just all around. It's all around the neighborhood. It just grew up with it, whatever. Mom and daddy did it, whatever. It doesn't matter. They practiced and brought their books together, and they began burning them in the sight of all, and they counted up the price of them to be about 50,000 pieces of silver, which is a lot of money. And the bottom line was the word of God was growing mightily and prevailing in that place. God was busting up the biggest stronghold on the face of the earth at that time in that particular area of occult activity. And he was doing it through one man by the Apostle Paul by doing extraordinary miracles. And the people were responding in repentance. And the repentance was this. They went back and they got the things in their household, the idols and the things that were that had to do with witchcraft and anything that was suspicious. They got them and they brought them all out and they had a bonfire. We call it an Acts 19:19 party. And they put all their stuff in there and they set fire to it as if to say, no more. Not in my life. You're not going to even have an opportunity to influence me. And they got rid of all the stuff in their house. Now, these were believers, I might add. They weren't the lost. These were believers. Witchcraft in many different forms is in the church. In this church. In people's lives. Some of them out of ignorance, they just don't know any better than they ever have been taught. And some, well, because they're looking for power. And some, just because they want to. And they continue in things that they think are okay that God has strictly, strictly forbidden. And these things are in their homes. Things, objects. Games, books, charms, trolls. And they don't think there's any, some of them don't think there's anything wrong with it. Like I said, it's out of just ignorance. But for some, they know and they haven't been challenged like I'm challenging you and I'm going to challenge the folks Sunday morning. It's time to clean house. It's time to get this stuff out of our life. I don't care how small or how, you know, how, oh, this was given to me by my grandmother or whatever. No, no. The Holy Spirit will show you what you need to get rid of that it grieves His Spirit. Now, for example, Many years ago, I went on a trip, mission trip to Haiti, and Haiti is known, it's a country known for voodoo. In fact, that's the national religion, voodoo. And I went down with a Christian group and went on a mission trip. And there I wanted to bring back some souvenirs. So I went outside the gate of this compound and I bought some souvenirs made out of wood from the guy there selling some things, you know. And I just thought they were souvenirs. And I came home and I remember, don't remember anything significant happening in our home, but actually I think it was later on when we had revival break out in our church. And when revival broke out in our church, the evangelist pointed out to us this particular scripture. And he challenged us. He said, you need to go back to your home and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to some things that you need to get rid of out of your house that may not be evil in of themselves, but they're objects that have been used for evil. And that there can be somehow, there can be a demonic attachment to an object. And that sounded kind of odd to us. We weren't taught that kind of stuff. So I went back home and began to pray and ask God to show us different things. And sure enough, he did. And he showed me and reminded me of these things I got in Haiti most of them of which needed to be burned. Of course, we had an Acts 19:19 party, and I burned those things, and it was just out of ignorance. I wasn't taught. I didn't know that I had these things, and again, I didn't see any specific connection. The first Acts 19:19 party we had was at First Baptist Leesburg many years ago. A youth evangelist came and he preached on then all the different evils of rock and roll music and stuff like that, you know, and it was a fantastic week. It was very revealing. And again, we were just ignorant of a lot of things. We didn't realize that we were opening the door to Satan, to the music that we were listening to, or the teenagers were primarily listening to. And there were groups like AC/DC and Kiss and I don't even remember all the different names. You guys, tell me some names. See, how do you know all these names? I'm just tricking, messing with you there. But we had this great revival. And then what the kids did is they went home and they cleaned out their closets. And they brought in all these. Back then there were albums. I was telling the staff today about this story. And I said, back then we had things called albums. There were records. You know, these kids brought all these albums back and I mean, we had a bonfire that about lit all of Leesburg up and burned things up. And one couple got angry with me as one of the teenagers' parents and said, they wanted to have a meet. They came over to our house, knocked on the door. And had a pretty firm look on their face, and we need to talk to you. You the new youth minister? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And come on in, and we sat down, and we talked, and they were very upset. We just bought our daughter these $100 or whatever, $200 worth of these brand-new records she wanted, and she took them to church and burned them because what is going on down there at that church? What kind of youth minister are you? And what kind of what? What kind of fanatic are you? Just gave away who it was. It was the couple there. And they were very upset. And so I tried to explain what we were doing and everything like that. And the Lord just really stepped in and really took care of that situation. And they realized what was going on, you know, that, wow, this is revival. God is doing something. And as a result of that, we became good friends to Tony and Joan Defoe, and their daughter is now married to a Navy chaplain, by the way, and their whole life was changed. It wasn't long after that. There was a real dramatic change in their life as a result of that. So I'm trying to tell you some quick stories how important this is. There's stuff like it's. You said, well, what difference does that kind of stuff make? Quick story. When I was in Astor, Florida, the pastor there, that church, Astor Pastor, be careful with that. Okay. And there at that time, Cabbage Patch Dolls were very, very popular. You remember Cabbage Patch Dolls? It was a very, very popular thing. And we had gone to a seminar that had revealed to us that some of these Cabbage Patch dolls, people have noticed that their children are getting sick or getting different things as a result of having the Cabbage Patch dolls in their homes. And we thought, that's strange. How weird is that? And we went home, and it wasn't too long after that that we had a person in our church who had a little girl, and the little girl was, something was terribly wrong with her. She was losing weight and just losing so much weight that it was scary, and she was already kind of frail anyway. And so we all prayed as a church and everything like that, and she wasn't getting better. Doctors didn't know what to do. She went from doctor to doctor. She kept losing weight, and they were very, very afraid for this child and thought we could put her in the hospital or something like that. And the thought just came to us when we were ministering to this family. We asked them, I said, is there anything in your home? We remembered the seminar about the Cabbage Patch dolls, you know. And we saw a Cabbage Patch doll in their home. We said, oh, what's that doll's name? And they looked on it, because then they had a tag on the dolls, you know, they had their name on it, you know. And they looked on the name of it, and it was like a foreign name that we really didn't know what it was. But we looked up the meaning of the name, and the meaning of the name was starvation. That was very enlightening to us, and we said, whoa. And we told the mom about this, and the child had received this as a gift from the grandmother. She's very attached to it. But ever since she's had that doll, starvation started happening in her body. And we told the mom about it. She gladly said, let's burn it. Let's get rid of it. So we had an Acts 19:19 party, and we burned that thing, and she started getting better immediately after that. Now, I'm not trying to spook you out, but I'm trying to make you aware. Don't be ignorant like I was ignorant, that objects can carry something demonic to them. Give me just about five more minutes, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Paul is talking there to Christians, and he says, do I mean that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of the pagans, or the unbelievers, are offered to demons. They don't even know it. Not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. Now, he's talking, he's warning about things that are associated with an object. Sometimes occult books, maybe jewelry. Pendants, all kinds of things like that. In an object can actually have a demonic attachment. Here's how Satan is. He's so subtle. He knows if you show up at your front door and he says, Russ, can I come into your life? Can I come in your house? Come on, let's just be friends. No way. That's right. But since I can't come in that way, maybe I can just kind of come in another way. I won't come in the front door, but I'll just come in the back door, and I'll just make sure that there's something there I can get in his house. An object. This is a deep teaching for a Wednesday night, and I'm not able to go deeper like I need to go with you, but there is something very powerful, and the Bible teaches that objects can carry a demonic attachment to it. And I just want to warn you. And if you doubt that, then you just ask the Holy Spirit. And go back in your home this week. And I'm going to deal a bit more with this Sunday morning. But go home and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is there anything in my home that grieves you? Is there anything in my home that a demon could have an attachment to, or have any power or have any place of influence in my life? Is there anything? Show me. And then just be still. And the Holy Spirit will show you. And just walk through every room and just let him show you. And he'll point you to something, and he'll make the connection. And then Sunday night, you bring that thing, put it in a garbage bag, and bring that thing with you. And then when we have this bonfire on the back, that'll be our Acts 19:19 party. You'll be disposing of things like that that need to be disposed of. Can a Christian be possessed? No. But a Christian can be oppressed, harassed, afflicted with sicknesses, afflicted and tormented. Paul had them harassing them and so forth. And the Bible says that Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil, Acts 10:38. And so I say all this to tell you with a big subject and try to end this thing is that we need to be spiritually alert. And ask God to open your eyes and show you, is there anything here, Lord, that I need to get rid of? And I believe God showed me something just this week I had in my office. I thought, wow, how in the world? And so I'm going to get rid of that. You said, well, how do you know for sure? Well, when in doubt, throw it out. Don't play with that. And don't be afraid of the devil. I don't want you to be, but I want you to be realize, don't be deceived by him either. Okay. We're living in a world that it's rampant with witchcraft, television programs. I mean, they're blatant now about witchcraft. They're blatant. Not shy about, don't even care about hiding anymore. That should tell you about what time we are on God's calendar. We're very near the end. And so let's put the devil where he belongs and give him a little taste of the fire before he gets there.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.